Chapter 12, the end of the parsha this week, has Moshe and Aaron, Miriam and Aaron, speaking something about Moshe Rabbeinu, and the punishment was Miriam became a Metzora leprosy, if we believe in that word. And then what happens is Aaron turns to Moshe and says, listen, you got to daven for her. You got to pray for your sister. He even says that. Be Adoni, I beg you, my Lord, do not cast a sin upon us, for we have been foolish and we have sinned. Okay? So therefore, be nice to us. Don't be like a regular corpse. And Moshe Rabbeinu decides he's going to daven. The great prayer of Moshe Rabbeinu in Pasuk Yud Gimel 12:13. Here goes. Are you ready for the prayer? Moshe cried out to Hashem. Kel no refa no la. So it does rhyme, and it's a total of 5 words. So what is this? The prayer of Moshe Rabbeinu for his sister is 5 words, and then Hashem answers.
The first word you said is not really the K sound.
Well, all right. First word I said, Kel, is God's name with an E. And, but it's 5 words. Okay. Now, when you only have 5 words in a prayer, you are missing potentially a lot of things. But then that's just automatic, right? Talmud discusses. 34a and Brachas. 34a discusses. At one point, Mark Charles was putting on the Gemaras that we quoted. But then we stopped that a long time ago, and for good reason. And the Gemara discusses when Moshe Rabbeinu seemed to do long prayers and when he seemed to do short prayers. Okay, that's not for us. We're going to the next part. Omer Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda says, in the name of Rav Yaakov, the name of Rav Chisda, one who seeks divine mercy for his friend need not mention his name while praying for him. Lots of pronouns here. 32 on bottom. Regarding, how do you know this? Because of Moshe Rabbeinu. What did Moshe Rabbeinu say? 5 words. Kel, no. Refa, no. Lo. Moshe Rabbeinu's sister was a leper. And he prayed for her. And he gave 5 words. And in the 5 words, you know what he didn't say? He didn't say her name. So here it says, whoever seeks divine mercy for his friend does not need to say the name. Oscar right away points out, whether it is merely unnecessary or actually improper, see a lot of names. So the first thing you have to know is like that. We do not, on the simple version of Gemara, whoever's asking for mercy on his friend does not mention the name. And we don't know if not mentioning names means it's better not to mention the name, or you don't have to mention the name. That's a simple way of learning it. There are Hasidic masters that say that the reason we do not mention someone's name is because we assume Hashem knows who they're referring to. So you're not off track completely.
Okay.
Comes with anything. We have Moshe Rabbeinu praying for his sister, Kel, no, Rafa, no, law, without saying Miriam's name. The Gemara says this proves that one does not have to, or one should not have to, should not say the prayer of the someone's name. Now, the Magen Avraham, practical law, just for the record, the Magen Avraham, practical 1600, says that only is applicable when you're in front of the person who is sick. But if you're far away, then you do say the name. The custom today is that we go Mishu Berech and Shul, we say the name and of the mother. But when you're next to a person, God forbid by a hospital, the custom is you do not say the name. That's basically, I can't say the custom. Every person, Ashkenaz Jewry really sticks to it pretty much. Outside of the room, we don't. According to some, the reason why you shouldn't say a name, Kabbalistic masses, Hasidic, yes, Kabbalah, no. Look at Akiva, he does the Kabbalah stuff. Kabbalistic masses say that a person's name is what the decree is upon. That means when God is sending out the decrees, someone's going to be sick, God forbid, something bad. He says, what do we do? Pliny ben Pliny. That's John ben Joe. John, the son of Joe. So when you're davening and you say the name, that potentially has negative repercussions. So it's better not to say the name. You're not near the guy. What are you going to do? So according to some, they want to say the reason why you're not sure if you fulfill the obligation of Biker Chaylam in English, visiting the sick. We have an obligation to visit the sick. And it became a very practical question. Can I fulfill my mitzvah of visiting the sick by calling on the telephone? Nowadays, it's not like this anymore. It's like this, right? By calling on the telephone, can I do that? So according to some, the problem is that when you're not there, how are you going to pray? You're going to pray and be nice to them, but you got to pray and use the name. It's better not to use the name. How do you not use the name? When you go to the hospital. So some want to say the reason why you should go visit in person the sick is because if you go in person, you gain by not saying the name. That's what some want to say. Because saying the name might have negative repercussions. Now we turn. Yes.
You didn't answer the question. The commentaries say for a friend, you shouldn't say the friend's name.
I said the commentators say there's a question if it's unnecessary or improper.
But for a friend's name. It's bad question is the relationship between Miriam to Moshe is not friends. It's relatives.
Yeah, but I didn't say the word friend.
But
I don't know what I did say, but
we did say friends back then.
I did? Oh,
Yes.
okay.
Yeah. So I'm just there's
No,
nothing about
that
that.
was me adding to the words.
So
I did say good point.
distinction a relative, in fact, an intimate relative, like your sibling, that's an unmarried woman. Well, wait, maybe she was married at the time. I don't know. But it doesn't matter.
Right, doesn't matter.
And
It's interesting to say
Joe
because
Plone.
this is a Rashi we could spend a lot of time on. It's fascinating people learning to be Rashi. So I read the Talmud, I read it in English, but we'll read it both in Hebrew and English. Talmud says, Kol hamevakesh rachmim. Remember what English works. Kol hamevakesh means one who seeks divine mercy. Oh, it does say for a friend. Need not mention his name while praying for him. And Rashi adds on, when it says Ein tzarach lahazkir shmo, you don't have to mention his name. Who's the his? Rashi says of the sick person. I don't have a problem with Rashi. I wouldn't have had a problem with Rashi until I started praying for this class. When I started praying for the class, I realized how many people asked us Rashi. What are you saying, Rashi? Obviously, that's what we're talking about here.
A friend who
Is it
was
obvious talking about the guy who's sick? I don't even know because now I'm confused. I saw so many
maybe it's supposed to
interpretations.
have Abishur's name.
Very good. Someone wants to answer that. We'll get to that in a second.
Maybe that's supposed to be the Kel word.
Some say that it's very strange. Rashi adding on the shame. Don't say the name of the sick person. I'm like, okay, who else are we referring to? So the question: what does the first thing mean?
He
When you
said
first
he's
understood
sick.
Hamevakesh Rachamim, when you are seeking divine mercy, Rashi clearly says we're talking about a person who's sick. Don't mention the sick name. Let's say I'm seeking divine mercy for what? I don't want necessarily. I want someone not to be named to have find the proper spouse in the right time. I want someone to have proper parnasa.
Business deal
Or a
still
business,
too.
but parnasa
But
meant
the
money.
saying says friend and sick.
What?
He's
No, it
sick.
says divine mercy. Is divine
Divine
mercy
mercy
limiting,
enough?
limited for sick people or not?
You're not reading in the context that you had
So the
before.
question became: is it limited to sick people? And someone will learn from Rashi, shockingly, that only when you pray for a sick person do you not have to say the name. But if you're praying for find a spouse, make some money, I don't know,
Rahim, mercy, compassion.
mercy, anything else. Doesn't say that. Anything else might be, use the name as well. And it would make sense what we said before, because the Chasam Sofer is saying a negative decree was based on the name of the person. Don't say the name. When I'm praying for someone to find money, find a girlfriend, find a boyfriend, what else are we looking for? Whatever it is, business deal, house. So there's no negative decree yet necessarily. We're at neutral. Right? We're neutral. So it could be in those situations, do say the name. And that's learned from Rashi, of Rashi saying the name of the sick person. Don't say, Rashi, what are you saying, name of the sick person for? Obviously, name of the sick person. He said, no, only name of the sick person you don't say. Rashi's limiting the Talmud. Even though the statement that the Talmud says, Kol hamevakesh rachamim, whoever seeks mercy, which might include all types of requests, it might not be necessarily all types of requests. It might be only sick for requests. And some bring a proof from last week's parsha.
Exactly, is when it comes to a sick person, you have the sick person on your mind.
And what does it say? 626, last week's parsha.
It's a different category altogether.
When you're not there. Now look what it said in last week's parsha. At the end of Birkas Kohanim, it says, V'yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, which means in English, but it's also called say, may Hashem bless you and safeguard you. Yar Hashem panav lecha v'yishmerecha, may Hashem illuminate his countenance for you and be gracious to you. May Hashem lift his countenance to you and establish peace for you. What's the next words? B'samu es shemi al b'nei Yisrael v'yivarecha. Let them place my name on the children of Israel, and I shall bless them. Some want to say that you're supposed to, it's a play on words, you should put the name of the person of Israel when it comes to giving a blessing. So we're going to divide this.
What are you talking about?
It's a play on words. That means, let's say I don't want to pray for you to have find a spouse. I don't want to pray for you to have money. I don't pray for you to find a house. What I'm praying for you, I'm giving you a blessing. Do I have to, do I have, should I say your name or not? A lot of times you go into grand rabbis, you know what they tell you to do? Write down your name on a piece of paper. Right? Why? So it could be, some want to say, that when it comes to blessings, no, improper to use the name. Because Rashi adds on the words, when do you not say the name? The name of the sick person. But if it's any other request, any other beseeching, if that's a word in this place, then you can use the name. When it comes to someone who's sick, we do not use the name. Why don't we use the name? Maybe because God knows. But that's not for right now. Where do you see this something? I'll tell you a fascinating idea. I don't know if I ever said this in the class. Page 125, we have the two. I'm wrong. We have Yitzchak married to Rivka. and they weren't having children, having a hard time having kids. And there it says, Isaac entreated Hashem opposite his wife because he knew she was barren. Isaac davened, not entreated, davened for his wife. He knew she was barren. Hashem allowed himself to be hear the prayers by him and by his wife Rivka, and then his wife Rivka conceived. Very easy in Hebrew, by the way. He davened opposite his wife, and Rivka conceived. So the obvious question is, why does the verse start saying his wife and then say Rivka conceived? You could either always call her Rivka, always call her his wife, or you could have done the other way. You could have done Rivka then his wife. That would make more sense, actually. But why does it say opposite his wife? Yitzchak did not have two wives. The other ones did. Why does it say opposite his wife and Rivka gave birth? What does it mean he davened opposite his wife? What does that even mean, by the way? So Rashi famously said, we learned with little kids, they sat on opposite sides of the room. Yeah, do we need that detail? Is that important to know where they davened? They davened at home, they went to Bnei Avraham, I mean, who cares? So one of the genius answers, Rebbe Chaim Sofer says, no. Yitzchak knew a rule. The rule Yitzchak knew was this. When you're davening for someone who is sick, a barren woman might be considered sick. When you're davening for someone who is sick, then the best thing is not to mention their name, because the name might have a negative connotation. So we don't want to say the name. But oh, if you're not next to someone, you got to say the name. You know what he said to do? I'm going to go daven opposite my wife. I don't have to say her name then. I can think the thoughts, and God knows who I'm talking about. So Yitzchak went and davened opposite who? His wife. Don't say the name. Because he went there to daven for his wife, not for the name. Who conceived? The wife's name. Rivka conceived. We don't say his wife conceived. We want to point out to you. No, originally he was davening for his wife. He kept it vague because you don't say the name. But then when it came to giving birth, he said the name Rivka. The Torah said the word Rivka because that's the way it has to go. And God makes a decree. He chooses the name and says that name will be punished with X. Not because of the grandparents. That name is punished because of X. That person is that name will be punished because of X. Therefore, since the decree came about on some level through the name, when you're praying for the person, you don't want to remind
That's
the
what I
original
just
decree.
said.
Fine.
Isn't
Okay.
that so we don't use the father's name, we use the mother's name? We'll say the mother
Mm.
gets the.
That's a whole different debate. But the mother's because we again, when you're not in front, we have no choice. We do use the name. So the simple reason why we use the mother's name is because that's more guaranteed. That's the simplest explanation. That means we're 99% sure it's your father, but we're 100% sure it's your mother. Again, it's not as statistical as I just made it sound. Sometimes that could be switched at birth by a hospital. They have all types of stuff. But more likely by a mother than by a father. So since we're praying, but that's only, again, that when you read the Gemara, it doesn't make this distinction. That Magen Avraham has Psukim, has Gemaras, that seemed to be it. So he says, yeah, the way to distinguish between when you use the name of the sick person and when you don't is based on proximity. If you're in the room or facing them, you could be have a mirror, window between, it's fine. When you see the sickly person, use the specific name. When you don't see the sickly person, other way around. When you see the sickly person, you do not have to, you should not or do not have to use the name. And here we see a classic example that Yitzchak prayed for his wife, not using the name. Why did not use the name? Because that's how he wanted to pray. And then it says Rivka gave birth. Just as another answer, since even though Charles liked the first one, to say that Yitzchak was nervous, where you were headed, by the way, where you were headed, that Yitzchak said, wait a second, the last time I know about someone who couldn't have kids and they davened to have kids, you know what they did? They changed the name. The name was Abram Sarai, and we changed it to Abraham and Sarah. So he says, listen, if I'm praying for a barren woman, I don't know if I should pray and use a name because the name might be changed tomorrow. It's like the 17th page in the contract. Who signed the contract? So I'm going to pray for Rivka, and tomorrow she might be called Rivki. So therefore, he left the name. That's what Chasam Sofer says it. I think Chasam Sofer says that. It's interesting. Now I just thought it. Upon me, office is his Rebbe. So the Rebbe of the Chasam Sofer says what I just told you. The reason why it says gave a location. He davened opposite his wife. Who cares where? No, because he didn't use the name. That's why it says it goes together. He davened opposite his wife. Opposite means they're in the same room, they see each other. His wife, because it doesn't say the name. The Chasam Sofer doesn't go with that. He understands the question of his Rebbe. I go a different approach. Since there might be a change of names, I don't want to pray for a specific name, since it's like the old, what did the Lavan do? You have to say, I want to marry a daughter who's younger, who's also named Rachel. Why? Because he was afraid she'd switch the name, switch what's called old. Everyone can switch contracts around. Therefore, he decided to switch that. But what we have now the idea brought in the Chumash and in this week's Parsha that when Moshe Rabbeinu said, Kel Na Rafana, five words, Kel Na Rafana, it was why? Because he was standing next to Miriam, and since he's standing next to Miriam, he does not have to say the name. Now, that's only the addition of the Magen Avraham. Oh, so yeah, Fras Kedanya, Greer Sefer, not so weird. About 50, 80 years ago. He says, that's a different question. He says that when you look closely at what occurred here, hold on, in chapter 12, they spoke against them, and Hashem said, El Moshe Aaron, peace on him. Suddenly Hashem appeared to them. You three go out of the tent. And the three of them went out. Hashem descended in a pillar of cloud and stood at the entrance of the tent, and he called Aaron and Miriam. And the two of them went out. He says, wait a second. How do you read these words? And they went out. Hashem told all three go out, and then two go out. So maybe they weren't near each other. That's his bomb question.
Three go in, two go out.
Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, it's hard to read these words now. Moshe, that's what you asked. Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, it says, go out of the Ohel Moed, called the tent of the meeting, and they all went out. Then a pillar of cloud came down and stood at the entrance of the tent, and he called Aaron and Miriam, and the two of them went out. Two went out. Back-to-back verses.
They already went out. Yeah, three already went out.
Three went out from the Ohel. So what's the second one? So the simple interpretation is going to be, yes, here it says they went out. And why did he draw them away and separate them from Moshe? Because ethical conduct requires that people say part of the praise in front of the presence of the person. And they wish to all of it, they should do so. Not in the presence. Therefore, Hashem told, he was about to praise Moshe Rabbeinu, so he told Aaron and Miriam, walk a little to the side while I'm praising him. But if you learn that, Bodenheim's right. Then what are we saying now from the Gemara? This is the bomb question.
I asked them to daven for him.
There's a debate. Now listen, from the time the Gemara, long time ago, 1500 years, right? Until, as far as I saw, about 50 years ago, nobody asked this question. He's the first, 50 years ago, someone asked it. Wait a second. This whole Gemara is built on the, if, no, wait. Slow down. The Gemara never says the difference between in front and not in front. The Gemara says, when you pray for someone, leave the name out. Okay, no question there on Moshe Rabbeinu, because that could be all places. Later on, the Magen Avraham, 1600s, comes along and says, no, I want to explain to you, this doesn't mean all the time, it means depends on location, location, location. From the 1600s on, nobody says, wait a second, go back to the verses, they were not together. So the whole Gemara now doesn't make sense. If the Gemara is learning that he didn't mention Miriam's name, and the Gemara, you want to say why? Because he didn't have to mention it, because they were there next to each other, according to you in the 1600s, they weren't next to each other. So others explain that he's reading the verses wrong.
Who's the he?
The Fraskadan, you asked this question. It's the name of the Sefer. He says, I don't understand. Read the verses like Bodenheim. It says they went out twice. Rashi's saying they had to separate. So they want to explain that, no, since the Gemara and the Magen Avraham is not, the Magen Avraham is learning 600, that obviously they were there. They have to learn that move to the side is still good enough. That means it's seeing, Moshe Rabbeinu was still able to see them. And the proof is they want to say, which now you're going to have to read the verses. It says they went out, but then a minute later it says Aaron told Moshe Rabbeinu, you weren't here for that. He said, Moshe Rabbeinu, please daven for our sister. Well, how is Aaron talking to him if he went out? And it doesn't say he came back in. So the truth is, this question normally wouldn't bother me that much. I don't know, not every detail's there. But since it said they went out, and never says he came back in, so the others say, no, you're wrong. When it says go out, it doesn't mean literally leave the room. Move over a little bit. Come and speak privately. So I'm whispering to them, but they're still in the presence of each other. Presence of each other, no name has to be mentioned. So the question is going to be now, in simple reading of the verses, when they say they went out, and then it says, Vayom Aaron. By the way, it says they went out.
Regardless of what it says in the Pasuk, the Torah has to be a chutzalach.
Yeah, that could be correct, but that depends how fast that's going to happen now. The leper has to be removed from the camp. Does the leper have the obligation to make a beeline out of the place? So it could be.
That it said three went in and two went out.
Right? Didn't say that at all.
No, but that's what you said.
That's not. I hope that's not what I said. I said three went out from the tent, and then it says two went out again. I don't know what that means even. That says they went. And then Rashi's saying they went further to the side. No, the same people, of the three. So the question now is on, just push up, shop it away. Push up, shop. We have a Gemara saying don't say the mother's name. We have the Magen Avraham learning that means don't say the mother's name means, not mother's name, sick person's name. We ourselves are not sure. Let's go through this whole recap first of all right now. The Gemara says you do not have to mention the name of a person that you're asking mercy on. The argument is, do you not have to or you should not? One argument. Then Rashi says the word sick person. Is that limiting to only sick people or everyone don't ask for? Blessings, wealth, health, not health. And all other things don't, you don't have to name either. We're dividing the Gemara up. Now, once we have sick people, do not, that's Rashi, do not mention the name of sick people. Then we have a question, wait a second. What about sick people? We know other Talmudic passages seem to say it. We do it today in Shul. Yeah, we divide location, location, location. In front of the sick person, not. Outside the sick person, yeah, we brought acute proof from Yitzhak. Then we have another question. Wait a second. Is the source from our pasuk of Miriam and Moshe? Fine. But Miriam and Moshe might not have been in the same room to learn this entire halacha from. Because we're going to limit the halacha of learning it from the same room. And they might not have been in the same room. Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam were told to leave the tent. Okay. Three left the tent. Then Hashem said, Aaron and Miriam, step aside. Of the three.
Step aside or leave?
Whatever. We're not trying to read it now.
Well,
we're not trying to read. If it means leave, then it comes down to the question. He didn't use the name even that in front of her. That's the question.
It also meant leave from inside this cloud, that a pillar.
Some want to say that.
I'm surrounded. Like, as they come outside to the entrance, let's
yes.
say outside this building, whatever it was, a building, a tent, they're outside the entranceway. A pillar comes down surrounding them, and the pillar says, Moses, like Aaron and something, go outside of my cloud.
And then the question becomes, is that called in the presence of, relevant to the law of doing that? Which would mean, like I said, if you're sitting outside the room and there's a window, is that called in front of the sick person to use the name or not? When you start reading these verses, it becomes unclear how far away they were. Because you're right, she should have gone out. But then, so it could be she went out, but what about Aaron?
He didn't get, did he get?
No, that was a question also.
Huge question.
Yes, why did Aaron get Tzaras? Correct.
Also, she would have to be diagnosed by him also.
Yes, Cohen can't, but a relative Cohen can't diagnose his sibling.
Part of the problem.
So they say Abishur diagnosed it, gets at it,
comes the problem.
That's what she's got.
Right.
Well, but at that point, Moses was still a Cohen. Yeah. At that point.
That's Moses, a huge conversation.
Sister.
Huge conversation. That's one of the problems. He only says Aaron's not a sister in Moshe. It seems like Moshe Rabbein depends on what you call converts with sisters. If everyone converted at Sinai, that is a huge discussion. Were they still siblings post-Sinai? Were there such a concept as siblings post-Sinai? Which is what we discussed a couple weeks back. Once a convert converts and the whole nation converted, it could be they lost.
They converted. Who's they converted?
That's all the laws of conversion, not all. Some of the laws.
You think we convert? It's considered as if we converted at Sinai? I don't think I remember that.
Yeah, I never said that. Yeah, there absolutely is that. At Sinai,
we converted, or that
yeah, because we weren't Jews before.
We accepted it at a deeper level, but we were already.
They're not mutually exclusive.
Okay.
Not mutually exclusive. You could reaccept it and still be considered converts at Sinai, which the Talmud seems to say in a couple places. Yes. In fact, the Talmud says in Croesus, page 7 or page 9, Talmud says that ask the question that in order to become a convert, and legal, not today, you have to bring a sacrifice, accept the mitzvahs, okay, and go to a mikvah. And the Talmud says, did they bring sacrifices? Yeah, they brought certain sacrifices at Sinai. That might have been conversion sacrifices. What about a mikvah? They have to figure out, where's the mikvah in the desert? Was the Miriam well becoming a mikvah?
What about a bris? None of them did it at Sinai. No bris at Sinai.
They did the bris 49 days earlier, according to most, the night they left Egypt, which we also discussed on a Tuesday night class.
I was thinking only about the 40, 39 years afterwards when they stopped doing it.
Then they didn't do it. Correct. Enjoy. Nobody on that thing.